you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We have much more to come in our second hour of the program, including a look at the report that was released late on Friday about UFOs. We'll take a look at what's going to come next in a federal effort to respond to the contents of that report. But right now, it's something else that we look at extraterrestrially, and that is a report in the journal Nature, which details a solar system of Earth-sized planets orbiting a dim star that could soon have a proper vantage point to be able to infer Earth from the dimming of our sun when viewed from afar. If there is life on those planets, if they have similar capabilities as humans, they would still be three decades away from being able to view us because of the distance. But after that time, stars will have moved enough so anyone viewing our sun would be able to observe the slight dimming that occurs when Earth moves in front of our sun. What are the implications for this? Joining us from the American Museum of Natural History, senior scientist and science education manager, Jackie Faraday. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Happy to be with you today, and I'm excited to talk about this study and explain it all to you.
Yeah. So please, share with us how we came to find out about this solar system.
Yeah. Okay. So let me take you back to the 1 minute elevator pitch of what we did.
Great.
And sorry, I'm in kind of a rainstorm right now, so you might hear the buzz of rain.
Yeah, that's all right, as long as you're safe from lightning bolts.
I think so. So what we did is myself and Lisa Kaltenegger, who's an astrophysicist at Cornell University, what we did was we decided that, you know, we've been searching for exoplanets for the past 25 years in earnest, even longer, but we've been really finding them for the past 25 years. And the major method by which we've been finding the planets in bulk, we've got over like 4,400 of them that we know about, is called the transit method. And that's this method where you look at the stars and you wait until you see the light dim ever so slightly as a planet basically comes between your eye or your detector and the star. And, you know, we're using this method like crazy as astronomers and finding lots of planets that way. And what we did in this study is we flipped the question and we said, okay, how many of the stars that we go outside on a beautiful evening and look up and enjoy, how many of them could be sitting on their world, look towards this area of the galaxy and see Earth pass in front of our sun, dim the light ever so slightly, indicating that we, this pale blue dot, was there. So that's the core of the study. And then the reason why you're seeing stuff in the news about these 29 worlds that we're naming in there is because the other thing we asked was, you know, we've been broadcasting from planet Earth for about 100 years or so. So you're right now, you and me talking, we're sending out some broadcast waves out into across the Earth. Some of them will seep out into space. And so the question was, from the point where we started broadcasting, it's about 100 light years away. How many stars that can see Earth as a transiting planet are also in that volume of space? And then how many of those might have a rocky world with an intelligent life form on it that could detect that we were not only a pale blue dot that might exist around this star, but also they could detect this artificial electromagnetic signature that we're beaming from this planet. So those are the two major things.
It's exciting. And I'm counting on those additional extraterrestrial listeners down the road. Of course, I'll probably be dead by the time they get those signals. But nonetheless, it'll be nice to know that that's for posterity. We're talking with Jackie Faraday, senior scientist and senior education manager at the American Museum of Natural History, joining us to talk about this. And one of the things that comes to mind, of course, is there something to be fearful of? That, once we're detected, does that make us potentially a target for an advanced civilization elsewhere?
Yeah, I like where your head is. I think that so in writing this paper with Lisa, there was a book that I had read. It's a trilogy. It's called The Three Body Problem. Have you read this book? Have you read this trilogy?
No.
It's excellent. I highly recommend it for your readers or for your listeners. And so in it, there's this exact scenario is brought up. And there's something that's called the dark forest theory. And that is the question of whether you can count on the idea that if you're detected, that you would have, is it safe to be detected? Or is it just better off to stay as quiet as possible in the galaxy so that you're not a detectable world? Because we're resource limited and all of that. So I love the thought process of the question. But at this point, we essentially have nothing to go on to be afraid of or to be not afraid of. It's just an open, interesting, thought-provoking question. And honestly, I think that we're so far from detecting other worlds with life on them that we could communicate right now. At least that's the way it feels.
Yeah.
That I'm not afraid of it, but I really do like to think about it and consider the question. I did definitely feel very vulnerable when I looked at all of the different stars that could detect us right now, because they're nearby and we do have a radio signal that we put off. And so it did make me feel a little bit like a naked planet, standing out there waiting to be seen.
So true. Jackie Faraday of the American Museum of Natural History, thank you for being with us and talking about this study. She's senior scientist and senior education manager at the museum. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC. In just a minute, I'll tell you in more detail what's to come up in the second hour.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.